Meow! Welcome to the Cat Tunes Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Corelli. On this podcast, I'm going to talk about the stories behind my songs, the production tools that I've used, the production methods that I've employed, the instruments that I've played, the instruments that I've discovered, the arrangement methods that I've used, the real-life stories which precipitated the creation of my entire albums or of my separate tracks. So let's jump right into it, shall we? And welcome you listening to the Cat Tunes Podcast. This is episode 77. Today we're going to be talking about the last song from the Love and Space album called Beside You, Beside Me. What do I want to say about the song? It is an amazingly positive song that concludes a 10-track album. Which is, you know, this album is pretty dramatic and I wouldn't say that it's particularly dark or tragic. I wouldn't say so. Not at all. As compared to other albums, like, for example, Overcome. Overcome is tragic. Overcome is dark and heavy. Or Killed Alive. Killed Alive basically doesn't leave you any hope. With its conclusion, with Frail Virtue in the end, that song. Killed Alive is not a very positive and not a lightweight album at all. So Love in Space, you know, Love in Space, I would say, is a much more positive album overall. Yes, it has some dramatic tension going on over the course of, 9 tracks. Yes, it has some tragic notes to it, and of course, it does have some melancholic undertones, certainly. But all in all, I would say that Love in Space, the Love in Space album, is kind of on a more positive side as compared even to some of my pop albums, like I Tell You What. I Tell You What is a sadder album, and the way it concludes, the conclusion to that album, is not a very happy one, you know what I mean? It's not really happy. Seraphic Tears, here's another album. Well, Seraphic Tears ends up with kind of a note of liberation, because in the end Lilith successfully flies away. And it kind of, you know, it's a kind of bitter, happy feeling. But Love in Space, again, comparatively, Love in Space concludes with this song, Beside You, Beside Me. And actually, this song sends a very positive message. It's, I would say that it's kind of a love song, really. And it's more of an observation. It's not tragic. It's not a lamenting song. It's not discouraging. It's not dark. It's actually pretty bright. It's kind of dreamy, in a sense, I would say. And it is, in its own way, it's kind of buoyant. Even though it's a slow track, it has some kind of buoyant punch to it. It could have been just a ballad, you know. It could have been just an acoustic guitar and whatever. Something like this. But it is not. It still has a pretty powerful hook to it. And it's kind of an observation at life, I guess, and there is plenty of hope in this song. There is plenty of hope. It's a depiction of what could be. Let's read the lyrics, and you'll see what I mean. You may stay where you are, you may go ahead, you may follow me but become misled. I can't promise you unearthly pleasures on a road that comes through hell. And what's the last stop? I cannot tell. You may try to lead me to where I'd never been, but it may be a dead end or wear me thin. Please don't give me promises, 'cause I don't need your pretty lies. to lead us to a demise. Will you walk beside me? Will you run beside me? Will you fly beside me? In any joy, in any grief, to the last breath. Will you fight beside me? Will you burn beside me? Will you lie beside me? To share our love and all our dreams and even death. I don't know where we go, I don't know where we end. And I don't want to know or guess what comes ahead. Let tomorrow always be a mystery. Today's here for you and me. Right here and now, it's all just we. Essentially, eventually. I can remain where I am. I may never stay. I may try to follow you, but then run astray. I don't expect an easy road that will bring us to some paradise. We can get to Eden every sunrise. We may get to somewhere, to where we've never been. And we'll see ourselves the way we've never seen. Please don't ask me for any vows, because I don't want to give you lies. And I don't want them in your eyes. I will walk beside you. I will run beside you. I will fly beside you in any joy, in any grief, to the last breath. I will fight beside you. I will burn beside you. I will lie beside you to share our love and all our dreams and even death. I don't know where we go. I don't know where we end. And I don't want to know or guess what comes ahead. Let tomorrow always be a mystery. Today's here with you and me. Right here and now, it's all just we. Essentially, eventually. So these are the lyrics. As you can see, it's kind of an observation. It's not really... I wouldn't even say that there is any dramatic tension. It's just saying that, well, the only way that we can go, that we can proceed into the future, potentially, is if we are on par. That's the whole point of the song, and that's the whole point of the album, perhaps, that I don't necessarily have to follow you, even though sometimes I might. And you don't have to necessarily follow my lead all the time, but sometimes you might want to do that. Ultimately, we are on par, and this is how we go together. But I guess what I was getting at here, I was kind of reflecting at everything that I've experienced up to that point in my life, and I was thinking a lot about how usually when one person is in the leading role all the time and the other person is kind of passively following, just following, it sometimes lead to, well, not sometimes, I think it quite often leads to a situation in which it leads to imbalance, basically. So you have one leader and the other person is always expecting the leader to make all the decisions, and it's kind of a lonely spot, and you end up with the person who is leading is always kind of lonely. But so is the person who is being led, because that person who is being led always kind of expects the leader to show the way and to clear up things and to do everything on his or her own. And that's not working together. That's one person feeling alone because he or her has to lead, and the other person is dragging behind because, oh, well, he's looking in the other direction. He's kind of not really intent on, you know, moving anywhere. You know what I mean? So I guess what I was trying to describe here, I was trying to describe a more of a perfect relationship when people are working together, when they are on par, when he and she are working on par. That's what I wanted to depict. With that being said, let's move on to the music analysis, shall we? I would say that for the most part of the song, we are in a flat key, but The song starts out in C-sharp major. It's kind of a bizarre conundrum here, because the intro itself, because of the chord progression. I was tempted to say that we are in D-flat major. And I think it holds true starting from the first verse. But in the intro, it is not the case, because you have a C-sharp major here. And then you got a D major plus 7. So how are you going to go about this? You're going to call this C-sharp major a D-flat major? That's ridiculous. I mean, of course not. At least for the intro. And then I started to write out the first verse, and the first two chords kind of make sense in C-sharp major, but then all of a sudden we are going into a flat key. So I think that starting verse one, I will, let's say we are changing the key to D-flat major for, you know, for the purpose of convenience. So anyways, this is a slow track. It is, the BPM is 72.5, 72 in health. Let's say that it is C-sharp major or D-flat major. It's a major key. It is a positive song. And let's listen to the intro. I won't play the whole intro because it starts out with a long sample. The long, long sample. So I'll pick it up where the music actually kicks in. Let's listen to that, to the intro alone, and then I'll comment on it. We're starting with a very mysterious theme, and the chord progression is gonna be bizarre. It's gonna be really bizarre. So, let's call it, for now, a C-sharp major plus 7. Then we're going into a D major plus 7. Then there is a B-flat major plus 7. And it's a Lydian kind of, it has a Lydian feel to it. Then we're going into an A major plus 7. There we go with the A major. Then we're going back to the C sharp major plus 7. The melody goes all the way up there. And then we're going into an A major plus 7. And then we're going to a D major plus 7, 9. This is how it moves. And to a G sharp major minus 7. So you see what happens there, right? Thank you. sets us up for going into the first verse. From a key standpoint, this is pretty weird because C sharp major plus 7, then D major plus 7, B flat major plus 7, A major plus 7, C sharp major plus 7, A major plus 7, D major plus 7, 9, G sharp major minus 7. So it's a weird way to treat a major key, as you can see. Then after that, we're going into the first verse. Let me play the first verse and probably the first hook and the post hook, or hook B, or whatever you want to call it. And then after that, I'll comment.
You may stay where you are. You may go ahead. You may follow me, but become a sled. I can't promise you an earth of pleasures on a road that comes through hell. And what's the last stop? I cannot tell. You may try to lead me to where I've never been, but it may be a dead end or where I'm sin. Please don't give me promises, 'cause I don't need your pretty lies to lead us to better minds. Well, you won't decide me.
Okay, so this is why I'm going to switch to calling it D flat major, because if I try to go with, I think of it in a sharp key, then it's going to become kind of weird, you know what I mean? So let's reimagine this as D flat major. So then there is the verse, let's say it starts with a D flat major.
You may stay where you are. You may go ahead. You may follow me, but become a sled. I can't promise you an earth of pleasures on a road that comes through hell. And what's the last stop?
So what's going on here? There is a D flat major in the beginning, A flat major minus 7, B major, B flat major minus 7, E flat minor minus 7 on the base of D flat, A flat major on the base of C, D flat major, B flat major minus 7, E flat major minus 7, F major minus 7, with a little addition here, a little melodic addition. And then we're repeating, there is another verse that follows.
You may try to lead me to where it never. lead us to end minds.
So it's the same chord progression, the melody is slightly different. And then after that, we're going into the hook. And all of a sudden, the hook lands us in B flat major.
Will you walk beside me? Will you run beside me? Will you fly beside me? In any joy, in any grief, to the last breath, will you find beside me? Will you burn beside me? Will you fly beside me? To share our love and all our dreams and even death.
So this is, let's say this is the hook, and it's just a three chord thing, basically. There is a B flat major, G minor minus 7, then an E flat major plus 7. Then a B flat major, and again, B flat major again, G minor minus 7, E flat major minus plus 7, excuse me, and back to a flat major. Then we're going to the post hook, or hook B, I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
I don't know where we go, I don't know where we end.
And all of a sudden we find ourselves in kind of a C minor slash E flat major. So it starts with a C minor.
I don't know where we go, I don't know where. What comes ahead? Let tomorrow always be a mystery. Today is here for you and me. Right here and now, it's all just we. Essentially.
So what's going on here? There is a C minor, an A flat major minor plus 7, E flat major plus 7, again C minor, A flat major plus 7, E flat major plus 7, B flat major minus 7, E flat major, and again B flat major, E flat major, and then we're going into the bridge, and that little bridge, all of a sudden, is D major plus 7, B flat major plus 7, 9, E flat major plus 7, and an A major plus 7. And then after that, we're going into the second part of the song. Let's listen.
I can't remain where I am. I've been ever staying. I may try to follow you, but then run astray. I don't expect an easy road that will bring us to some paradise. We can get to Eden. Yeah. you can see, the second half of the song basically is a repetition of the first half. It's it just mirrors it, basically. It's the same parts, which are just being repeated. So there is the second verse, which is comprised of two little halves, which again follows the same exact pattern and the same exact chord progression as the first one. Then there is the hook. Again, and there is really not much difference even as far as the instrumentation there. Hook, and then there is the post-hook again. Same structure. It's basically a mirrored song. Intro, verse 1, hook, post-hook, little bridge. Verse 2, hook 2, post-hook 2. And then in the end, there is a little variation with the way it ends, kind of hangs on the B flat major. Eventually, and then there's this vocal thing in two or three vocals that sort of slides down and sits on some chord in the end. And that's it, basically. That's the whole music analysis. It's a very simple song. There is, the chord progression is kind of weird in the very beginning of the intro, and you might be led to believe that it's going to be like a very strange song, but then it straightens itself out, and starting, you know, from the first verse, and then especially on the hook and post-hook, it's simple as a pair of doors, really. So anyways, with that being said, let's move on to the next section, shall we? So as you can hear, well, besides you, beside me is actually, for one, it is a positive song. Usually when I'm talking about my albums, it turns out that the majority of songs are kind of dramatic, or they're tragic, or they are melancholic, or they're dark, and I mean really dark. But in this rare instance, actually, this song is a positive one. I can't actually believe that I've written this. I mean, of course, I was constrained heavily by the chord progressions that Leo originally has given me. I've written the chord progression entirely myself for the intro and the bridge. And then I've sort of modified a little bit whatever I could get my hands on. I've modified the chord progression and made up the melodies for the entire song. Because as far as I remember, Leo didn't have any melodies at all. So I wanted to spice it up, and I wanted to kind of bring life to it and brighten it up, because in my mind, it was going to be the conclusive song. I think I've designated Beside You, Beside Me as the last song since the very beginning. Once I had this demo, I was like, yeah, there it goes. It should go to the end. It should conclude the whole album on a high positive note. You know, on a major note. And usually when I'm working on an album, I try to line up the songs and sort of imagine we're starting over here and we're going to end over there. This is going to be the last song. This is going to be the final point of the whole album, because I usually think of an album as a one solid body of work. I think of it as of a story, usually. Even though it may contain different songs which depict different things, etc., etc., I still try to, for the sake of consistency and for the sake of making it into like one book, you know what I mean? I try to line up the songs in a fashion so that they would flow one to another, to another, to another, to another, like one big story, comprised of smaller stories, comprised of smaller episodes, so to speak. And I've been working on albums this way,
basically all the time. Maybe it has something to do with the huge influence that bands like Dream Theater had on me. For those of you who don't know, Dream Theater is a progressive metal band. But I'm guessing, you know, if you're listening to me, you probably know about Dream Theater. And yes, of course, I've listened to bands like Radiohead back in the day, which is very different music from Dream Theater, but you know what I mean. I started out first with Radiohead. And Radiohead has a few concept albums under their belt. I deeply respect this band. I like the way they structure things. And I always liked it. You know, OK Computer, for example, or The Bends. Those two classical albums, basically. And I just naturally felt like, well, what's the point of... how can you write an album with disjointed, separate songs which don't sit together with one another at all? Because back in the day, I used to listen to whole albums when I would, you know, go from point A to point B across the city. I would actually listen to a whole album. And I've always appreciated this about albums. There would be songs that I would like more, and there would be songs that I would be waiting for, and then there would be more energetic kind of songs. And I used to walk on foot a lot, you know, or use public transport, so you would be like, yeah, I want to get out of the metro when that song finally hits, because I really want to hear it. And at that point, I will have to walk on foot and walk, you know, for quite the distance and keep up a fast pace. So that song would be really helpful, you know, this kind of stuff. And you would kind of pace yourself to the music, and you would switch between, you know, kind of resting while you're somewhere in the metro or in a trolley or in a bus. And you would have a chance to just stand idle or sit. And then you would get out into the street, and you would be walking again a lot. You know, so then you would be trying to, you know, you would be pacing yourself to the music. And that was very helpful. And boy, can I can't tell you how many albums have I listened to and actually known by heart, because I was spinning them all the time in my player or in my CD player, something like that, an MP3 player. Wherever I went, I usually had my headphones with me, and I was discovering plenty of music. And I was listening to whole albums. If I did like a band, if I've discovered a song somewhere, and I was like, huh, that's interesting, I would buy their album, and then I would listen to it. And I walked a lot. I was out in the city a big deal. That was like, I don't know, it was a huge part of my life. Walking, meeting people, having to go from here to there, from one rehearsal to another, having to go places, you know, as far as my studies, and, you know, or work or whatever. And a lot of it was on foot, and a lot of it was public transport, so it was always kind of on the move, all over the city. So having this album music with me really helped. It was music on the move. So anyways, I'm laying this out, and I'm telling you these things because I think that actually shaped my perception of what an album is and how do you write an album, how do you put together an album so that you can listen to it as to a story, as to a whole story, so that you can appreciate the songs within the context of the surrounding songs. So that not only... it's like a different level of feeling things. Sure enough, every song has its own exposition, build-up and culmination point, the climactic point, and then the aftermath. Sure. And that's how it's supposed to be. It's like a little series, like a little episode there. I kind of think of it as of a movie, you know. An entire album is like, I don't know, a TV series, or is like it's like a movie, it's like a film. And the individual songs are like sequences, or like episodes, if we're talking about a TV series, right? or individual sequences within a film, which have their own little build-ups and they have their own climactic points, points of tension, a dramatic escalation, and then the aftermath, and then it's switched to the next scene. So I think of writing music in the same fashion, like I am capturing, rather, an emotional movie. It is not just a random collection of noise. It is not a random collection of melodies, you know, better or worse melodies or whatever. No, it's not random at all. It is a story, and the story dictates the flow of the album. Seraphic Tears, for example, I don't remember if I have covered... No, I probably haven't covered Seraphic Tears. Seraphic Tears is a dark story. It has its own logic because of that. And it's not as tragic, and it is not as heavy as Overcome. Overcome, you remember I was covering it on this podcast. Overcome is insanely long. It's like two albums length, really. 28 tracks, that's a lot. It's a very long... It's almost like a TV series, like Twin Peaks by David Lynch, for example. It is quite the story. There is a lot going on there, and you need some time to introduce things. So within, when I'm working on an album, I need certain songs to be in a certain place. There has to be an opening track, there has to be a closing track. The way I'm trying to shape albums and put them together is, I'm trying to make it so that the listener has a deeper level of appreciation for the album and for how the songs are positioned against each other, how they're juxtaposed against one another. So that within an individual song, you have the build-up and you have the dramatic tension, the escalation, and then you have the aftermath, the conclusion. But so you have it on a macro level, on the album level. So then you listen to the opening song, and then you have track 2 and 3, which kind of give you what's coming next. And then there is something happening in the 4th track and the 5th track, and then at the core of the album, 6, 7, 8, these tracks, there is something, some major build-up. Then usually something is going on around track 8, 9, if we're talking about a 10-track album, right? 8, 7, 8, 9, these are like the... there's usually a culmination or something along those lines. And then 10, if it's a 10-track album, right, then 10 would be the conclusion. It has to be. It can't be just any song. No, it has to be a conclusive song. This is where the whole album is being wrapped up. And then, of course, you can have, you know, 12-track albums, you can have 14-track albums. The most common format for me is like 12 tracks. But it really matters which songs land where. So, why am I saying all this? I basically just wanted to say that Love in Space, as compared to many of my other albums, is a positive album. And I want to encourage you to go and listen to the whole thing. Listen to it from track 1 all the way to track 10. Soak it in. Read the lyrics. You can find my lyrics on genius.com. The site is called genius.com. There is a large collection of lyrics by various artists, mainstream artists, and indie artists, etc., etc. This is where you can find all the lyrics to my songs in one place. You can also leave me a comment there to my lyrics. And of course, I want to encourage you to go and listen to the whole album. And this applies to other albums as well. Other albums that I've laid out here on this podcast, but also albums that I'm yet to talk about. And you can find my music on any major streaming platform. It can be, you know, Spotify or iTunes or Apple Music, Deezer, you name it, YouTube. And of course, I want to invite you, if you go to YouTube there, I have an official artist channel there called Catherine Corelli. Catherine with a C and Corelli with a C. Discover my channel for yourself. I got a Cat Vibes playlist, which is more casual, and there is a lot of videos in that playlist where I'm just basically showing my recording process, be that guitars, sometimes drums, sometimes other instruments, sometimes vocals, whatever I can record. And it also has some very casual footage of me sitting by a fire pit and burning, you know, burning burning a bonfire, or just showing casual footage of some flowers or whatever, you know, with some of my music on it. So you can check that one out. Or if you want to discover some of my other stuff where I'm not talking about music but rather about other topics, check out my Cat Talk series on YouTube. And of course, I also want to invite you to check out my other business, which has to do with skin health and aromatherapy, called Southern Caracal. For some reason, I cannot put the links in the description, in the notes to episodes here anymore. Something changed with Apple podcasts or some other platforms, whatever, so it just doesn't come through. So, southerncaracal.com. Southern, as in southern, like in the south, right? Southern Caracal, CARACAL.com. This is the website. Check it out for skin health and aromatherapy products. Mainly, this has to do with soaps, oatmeal honey line of soaps. This is skin health and skin healing soaps, medicinal soaps, lotions, lip balms, aromatherapy an aromatherapy line of soaps, and other products. Check out our website. Pick something for yourself or for your friends and family, and your skin and your the skin of your friends and family will thank you later. With that being said, I'm going to wrap up this episode. Thank you very much for being with me. I appreciate your time. Thank you for spending your time with me. Thank you for staying with me. Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you like this podcast, please shout it out. Share it on your social media. Share it with your friends. And you will hear me on the next episode.